A Church in Revival. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. Revival is a season of God's visitation. It is a season of heaven's outpouring on earth. Things are different during a season of visitation. The word that we received from the Lord as we began 2008, the year this book was written, was that the year would be a year of spiritual and material outpouring. Although we did not necessarily know everything that we were getting into, we just knew God was saying that the year would be a year of outpouring. It was only later into the year that we began to see things happen. And we are now just moving into what God has promised and positioning ourselves to welcome a revival, an outpouring, a season of visitation from heaven. We pray asking God to send revival, an outpouring, or a visitation, but are we ready for revival when it happens? We have to be prepared for revival when it does show up. What would a church look like when revival happens? What would happen to you and me when we are in the midst of a revival, when there is a heavenly outpouring, a spiritual visitation of God? One sure thing is that church will not look like we know it now. When we gather as a church on Sunday, we usually just wait till the pastor's sermon is over. Some of us can even sleep through parts of it and go home. But church is going to be very different when there is a visitation from God. Be prepared for the outpouring of God. Chapter 1. The Church in Jerusalem. The purpose of this book is to give us a picture or vision of what church life would be like when there is a move of God and we move into a season of visitation from Him. Let us study the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts and pick up some of the high points from the revival that broke out in Jerusalem, a visitation that gave birth to the church in Jerusalem. We can learn about revival and what church life would be like from the church in Jerusalem that was birthed in the middle of a visitation from heaven. Birthed in unity and prayer. What was one of the precursors to revival? What really was the preparation that the people in Jerusalem went through before they could actually step into the outpouring from heaven? Jesus had instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem because there was an outpouring coming. He gave them a specific location and told them to just wait. The precursor to the revival of the outpouring is mentioned in Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All 120 disciples in Jerusalem continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There are 2 points to note, the first being one accord, which means being of one mind. The Bible says that they continued with one accord. Not only did they begin with one accord, but continued in one accord. So, unity, being together, being of one mind and being of one purpose, is very essential. Pushing toward the same thing or moving toward the same thing is an important prerequisite for us to come under the outpouring of God. In an atmosphere where there is unity, there will be an outpouring. God commands His blessing there. Psalm chapter 133 verses 1-3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This means that as a preparatory process of getting into the outpouring, you and I must walk with an endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit, of just keeping this common purpose before us that we are hungry for God and want more of Him. When God's people come together in unity, regardless of name, denomination, and doctrinal differences, putting aside petty squabbles with just one purpose of seeking God, there will be a mighty outpouring of His Spirit's presence and power. There will be an outpouring of anointing, refreshing, blessing, and life upon all, from the head to the toe, from the greatest to the least. The second point is that there was prayer and supplication in the church that gathered in Jerusalem. They continued in prayer, supplication, and intercession. They were just united in one accord and offered prayer and supplication, the precursors to an outpouring of God. There is no point in us spending the next 50 years attending church, 2 hours every Sunday, sit and listen to wonderful messages, feel good, increase in our knowledge of God, but not experience the God whom we are getting to know. Increasing in the knowledge of God and experiencing Him are two different things. Christianity is not just based on knowledge, it is an experience with God. We ought to be tired of just attending church and intensely desire more of God. So, our response as a church should be, God, we have a common purpose, we want more of you and we are all together in this, completely. However, we have to guard ourselves against selfish ambition, suspicion, and competition. Because if there is selfish ambition, it will lead to suspicion and suspicion will lead to competition, and competition to great division. There should be no place, no entrance allowed to these emotions, because we are united, we are of one accord, with one purpose, we want more of God. This is that. Joel chapter 2 verses 28 and 29. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, Acts chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Notice that they were continuing with a unity of purpose. They were of one accord, in one place, and suddenly the heavens opened and God released fire upon them. So that was it, the outpouring had begun. This is what Jesus had promised would happen, and it had begun. There were thousands of Jews gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Historians say the count would have gone into hundreds of thousands of Jewish people. And then something phenomenal happened among the 120 disciples who were in the upper room. They started speaking in strange tongues, and the news must have spread. Shortly, a big crowd of people gathered outside who heard and saw all these people praying in tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter felt the need to explain something to the crowd, and so he stood up and said, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Acts chapter 2 verse 16. By saying this is that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was saying that what was happening that day in Jerusalem was what Joel prophesied in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2 verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now what did Peter actually say? He said, this is that. But if we look at the verse, then we conclude that this was not that. Why? Because Joel said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. But what were the 120 doing? There were no visions, dreams, or prophecies among them. Rather, what did happen was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire, and people speaking in tongues. So this was not actually that. When I teach hermeneutics, how to interpret scripture correctly, I tell my students to be very careful and to study the Greek, the history, the culture of those times, and so on. So, if I analyze what was happening with my natural mind, my conclusion would be, this is not that. Joel did not talk about the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Joel did not prophesy about tongues of fire or speaking in tongues either. The signs that took place on the day of Pentecost were not in Joel's prophecy. But the Holy Spirit was saying through Peter, this is that. Out goes the conclusion of my intellectual analysis on this. There are two important deductions we need to make here. First, God is bigger than His Word, the Bible. We often try to fit God into His Word. God is bigger than the book He wrote. The book He wrote describes a small piece of Himself, an infinite God. Inasmuch as I believe that the Bible is absolute, divinely inspired, and the final authority for our life on earth, I know that the Bible does not fully describe our infinite God. God will never contradict His Word, He will always stay true to what He has revealed. But He is infinitely bigger than the written Word. Sometimes when we analyze the Scriptures, this does not mean that, but God says, this is that. Because when Joel talked about the work of the Spirit, he was not giving an exhaustive list of all the works of the Spirit, he was merely giving a representative list, visions, prophecies, and dreams. And what took place on the day of the Pentecost was also the work of the Spirit, some other works, sound of a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire, and speaking in tongues. They were still the works of the Spirit. So this is that. Amen. In revival, we must walk with wisdom and revelation. We need both. Sometimes we only walk with wisdom but not with revelation. We know all the history of the Scriptures, the Hebrew, the Greek, and everything else. We often know what is the right thing, but we do not have a revelation of what is the now thing of God. So, we have the right thing which is the wineskin, but the now thing is the new wine. If our wineskins cannot contain the new wine, we will not receive the new wine. We need wisdom and revelation to be able to discern what God is doing now, to welcome that and walk in it. The now word definitely will never contradict the written word, but we must have the now word to understand what God is doing. The second important thing we need to state based on Peter's this is that no two revivals or outpourings are identical. There may be similarities, but they may not be identical. Joel described an outpouring of God's Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost was a genuine outpouring of God's Spirit. God may say, it is an outpouring, it is a visitation, but we may say this does not look exactly like that. We can study the history of revivals, learn lessons, glean patterns of revival, but we cannot put God in a box and say that revival must happen in the same way as it happened in some other place. We must be very open to God as we are progressing into an outpouring of God. We must understand what God wants to do amongst us now. We must ask ourselves questions like, what is God leading us into as a church? What is God's desire for this city? Revival in our city will not be an exact replica of a revival that God worked somewhere else in the world. It will be brand new, and yet it is a revival, a visitation of God, an outpouring from heaven. From the record in Acts 2, we see that the church was born as a result of this outpouring. In fact, this was the very first local church. Acts chapter 2 verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the. Overnight, a church of 3,000 people came alive. Often, I try to imagine how it must have been, what it would have felt to be in the shoes of the apostles then. They did not graduate from any seminary, had no instruction on church management, church growth principles, nothing at all, and yet overnight they had 3,000 people in the congregation. There was no planning, no strategies, no prior instructions, no model to follow, no G12 cell groups, nothing at all, but a church is born in almost a moment. I am not diminishing the importance of learning or planning or strategy. What I am trying to impress on our hearts is this: if God does something unexpectedly, let us just go with it. God does not always have to come through our planning and our nice strategizing. As educated people, we are so used to using our brains, and there begins the struggle for most of us in trying to comprehend what God is doing. If God is going to do something unexpectedly, let us go with it. Chapter 2. A Church in Revival. The church in Jerusalem was birthed in revival. So, it would serve as a great prototype for us to understand what a church in revival would look like. We can learn some lessons on what to expect as we receive an outpouring and experience revival. The first 8 chapters of Acts capture the first 12 years of the church in Jerusalem. Continued daily in what the Lord was releasing into their midst. Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We noticed that the believers continued daily with what the Lord was releasing in their midst. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts chapter 2 verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Acts chapter 5 verse 42. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. These people who had planned on a short trip to Jerusalem, suddenly got themselves into something that was happening every day. It is like us going for our Sunday services, maybe occasionally attend special meetings in church, leading a quiet life where we have got everything planned out. But in a revival, something happens every day. The church in Jerusalem was continuing daily in what the Lord was doing in their midst. They were flowing with it daily, not a once in 7 days event. Schedules radically affected. It is very easy to imagine, therefore, that their schedules were radically affected. In revival, our schedules will be affected. It may even just get a little messy. The people in Jerusalem may have planned their travel in advance, may have gone to Jerusalem one morning to be there for the Feast of the Pentecost and planned on returning the next day, and probably planned on showing up at work the following day. Consider this, they came to Jerusalem and there was a mighty outpouring of God. Their lives were touched, and 3,000 people were saved. Their schedules then went for a toss. Something was drawing them to the temple, morning and evening, to seek and praise God. When revival breaks out, schedules will change. I am not suggesting here that we do not go to work. What I am saying is that things will happen that changes or alters our schedules. We need to come into revival knowing that we are in a season where God is moving amongst us. We need to be willing to readjust our schedules to go after what God wants to release. Many of us may be praying, "We want revival, God, send an outpouring, Lord. Give us a visitation, God." But if God does show up and changes our schedules, will we say, "We want revival, but do not touch our schedules or interrupt our lives, Lord"? Or are we truly ready to receive God's answer to our prayers for revival? Sense of community, sharing together. Acts chapter 2 verses 44 and 45. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. As the church in Jerusalem was moving in this outpouring, we see that there was a deep sense of community, of sharing together. Suddenly, they were having lunches and dinners together, and probably traveling together with people they did not know previously. There was a whole new sense of community experienced among these people. The Bible says they had all things in common and began to share things. So, what does revival do? It really builds a sense of community into our lives. We begin to share in our journeys, and there is spontaneity to our giving, in our helping, and in our togetherness. Rapid growth of the church. We also see a rapid growth of the church in Jerusalem. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts chapter 2 verse 47. We do not know the exact daily number, but it could have been 100 or 200 or just 10, but the Bible records that people were being added daily. After Peter's first sermon, 3,000 were added in one day, Acts chapter 2 verse 41. Later, another 5,000 were added, after the healing of the lame man, Acts chapter 4 verse 4. Explosive church growth indeed. Would we not like such amazing things happen in churches in our city? Notable miracles that caused continued growth of the church. We see that notable miracles caused continued growth of the church. There were many miracles, but only the notable ones are recorded for us in Acts. There was a man who had been lame for 40 years, who was healed, Acts chapter 3 verses 1-8. People who were sick came from far just so that the shadow of Peter would fall on them, and they were healed. Acts chapter 5 verses 12-16. And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So, in the midst of revival, this is what will happen amongst us too. Notable miracles will take place. We do thank God for the daily miracles in our lives, but there will be notable miracles that will begin to take place amidst us in the course of revival. Persecution. A church in revival attracts persecution. When we are in the middle of an outpouring, for some reason, it will attract persecution. So, do we really want an outpouring then? Peter and John were taken in by the Sanhedrin and threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus, Acts chapter 4 verses 17 and 18. The apostles were put in prison, Acts chapter 5 verses 17 and 18. Stephen was stoned to death, Acts chapter 7 verse 58. Increased persecution in the middle of an outpouring is not uncommon. But notice how the apostles responded. Acts chapter 4 verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Acts chapter 5 verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The apostles did not say that they would tell God to shut the heaven or ask God to reduce the outpouring. Instead, they were glad to go with what God was doing. They were glad to obey God and counted it an honor to suffer for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We too must count it an honor to suffer for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us have lived very comfortable Christian lives. We hardly see any persecution. We might have experienced that little thing in our workplace that our colleague does not talk to us or does not go out with us for lunch or stops bringing us coffee like he used to, after he found out about our faith. And we think that we are suffering persecution in our workplace for our faith. Honestly, we have not seen anything yet that could be called persecution. But if we say, "God, we want revival," then we must be prepared for increased persecution, just as the church experienced in Jerusalem. Strong judgment for sin. We all know that in an atmosphere of revival, there is abundance of grace, miracles, and gifts that are released among the people of God. But at the same time, there is quicker judgment against sin. How many of us drop dead when we lie? If that were to happen, none would be here alive. Today, though we are all believers, some of us still lie, steal, and yet nobody drops down dead. But in the middle of the revival in Jerusalem, Ananias and Sapphira lied and did a small adjustment to their contribution to the church, and they dropped dead, Acts chapter 5 verses 1-10. That is severe judgment. Supernatural demonstrations and angelic visitations. The early church experienced supernatural demonstrations and angelic visitations in addition to healings and miracles. Acts chapter 4 verse 31 records, "The place where they had assembled together for prayer was shaken. It was not just a tremor on the ground, but the place where they were meeting was shaken." Imagine being in a prayer meeting and you feel the building shake, but nothing falls. Acts chapter 5 verses 19-21 says that the angel came and brought the apostles out of prison. Acts chapter 8 verse 26 records that an angel instructed Philip to go into the desert place. So angelic activity and angelic ministry will be on the rise in the middle of an outpouring. Not devoid of internal problems. In the middle of an outpouring or visitation, the church will not be devoid of internal problems. Sometimes, we have the wrong impression that because there is a mighty visitation of God, there will be no problems whatsoever. Contrary to that notion, the church in Jerusalem experienced problems. The first issue they had to deal with was when there was a dispute among the widows. Some were Greek-speaking widows, and some were Hebrew-speaking widows. Some felt that they were not being treated fairly in the distribution of food, Acts chapter 6. And so, there was a dispute, but the apostles rose up with the wisdom of God and resolved the problem. The point is that there might be internal problems during our revival too, and we have to address them with the wisdom of God and not be afraid. The other notable thing is that the leaders decided that they must give themselves continually to what was important, to the ministry of the word and to prayer. The leaders focused on what was important, to provide leadership for the revival. This is an important lesson for us as we pursue God. We must also be careful not to elevate leaders. Revival must not be centered around a man or a ministry. And yet, we must understand the importance of leadership for revival. Leaders must take their place, be responsible, and focus on what God wants them to do. This will help the outpouring to be extended, increased, and not diminished. There was one sad thing about the Welsh revival. Evan Roberts was one of the key leaders of the revival and in fact came into prominence at the height of the revival, but something unfortunate happened. He suddenly moved out of that position of leadership. Evan Roberts suffered a mental and physical collapse, a burnout. Almost overnight, he stepped out of that position of leadership and spent the rest of his life mostly in seclusion, in writing and prayer. A very sad end to a man whom God used powerfully in the Welsh revival. Leadership is very important in revival. While we do not want to elevate leadership and magnify leadership, we must understand that as those who are in leadership for revival, it is so important to stay focused, keep ourselves from being burned out, and at the same time be in charge, because we are accountable to God for what He is releasing on the earth in our midst. Everyone flowing in the miraculous. In the book of Acts, we see later that as the outpouring progressed, everybody started flowing in the miraculous. Soon we start hearing about Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and Philip Acts chapter 8, through whom mighty signs and wonders were released. I firmly believe that what God wants is to see every person in the church healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead, in the name of Jesus Christ. He wants to see His people in this city invade the streets of our city, manifesting the glory of God. Every believer will manifest mighty signs and wonders out on the streets, wherever people with needs are. And that is what God wants to bring the church into, and that is what will happen in the middle of an outpouring of God. You and I will be carrying the glory of God out into the streets, into the marketplace, and wherever people are. Revival fire spreads. Because of the persecution led by Saul in Jerusalem, the believers were scattered, but they carried the fires of revival wherever they went. They went into Samaria and Judea, and those places were set on fire, Acts chapter 8. Some went into Antioch, and Antioch was set on fire, Acts chapter 11. Ordinary believers carried the fires of revival wherever they went. I believe that each one of us too will become revival carriers, carriers of the revival fire amidst an outpouring of God. It may or may not be persecution that moves us out from the midst of a revival. Maybe it could be a new job, a transfer in our jobs, and so on. There could be several reasons why we may have to move out from Bangalore City. But when we go, we will carry the outpouring of God. We will carry the fires of God and go out and set other parts of the world on fire. And that is a church in revival. To be a church in revival, in the middle of what God is doing, will affect our daily lives. It will even affect our church lives, as we know it. But it is worth everything because if our city is going to change, it really requires a visitation of God. If our city is going to be impacted, it does mean that we must have more of God than what we have today. While we are grateful for all that has already happened in our city, think about the number of people who still do not yet know Jesus Christ in our city. There are still millions who do not know Christ. If we are going to impact our city, we must have a mighty outpouring of God. We must have a visitation of God. We must have more of God than what we are walking in today, and this means that you and I must press into that. Are we willing to ask God for a mighty revival, a great outpouring of His Spirit? Let us move toward being a church in revival. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.